Today's guest is Ray Bradshaw, who's coming on, Scottish Glaswegian comedian. Hope Glaswegian, I think. I'll check. And also known for probably winding up some English fans on Sky Sports News recently as a patriotic Scotsman. So hope you enjoy the episode. And then, right, quick outro. That was brilliant episode there. Ray was very funny, told a lot of good jokes. Especially that one about the thing we were afraid to talk about. But yeah, brilliant. Great, great episode. Hope you all enjoyed it as well. Cue intro. I'm Killian Sheridan, and welcome to the Sheriff Show with Lewis Capaldi. Killian Sheridan, and welcome to the Sheriff Show with Lewis Capaldi. Welcome to the Sheriff Show. I had to check the name there. I'm Killian Sheridan, and welcome to the Sheriff Show with Lewis Capaldi, who unfortunately couldn't make it today because he's stuck in a bag of chips. the image of his face, that's not any slight on Lewis eating chips or anything like that. I want to make that clear. So joining me today, as you know already, is Ray Bradshaw. Ray, thank you very much.
Thank you for the highest paced introduction I've ever had. That was mesmerizing.
That was a first. That's the first time we've tried the intro outro before the show starts.
It was the first time I've ever heard someone introduce a show and sound fucking raging about it at all times. Yeah.
Sound sleepy.
Yeah.
That's the vibe we go for here.
I like it.
It was I was also nervous because it was the first time I'd done it, so.
Oh, sorry for picking on you then. I feel bad. Now.
Glaswegian was right, yeah.
Yeah,
so just, you know, you can come here, relax.
Good.
You don't need to be funny. It helps, like, it's good for people watching, but and listening.
He's here to back me up.
But it's just, yeah, like, relax and just go with the flow. go with the raging flow that I seem to have.
I feel, yeah. There's something's raging right now, but it's not a flow. It's something else. But we'll see how it goes.
I've got a rager.
Yeah,
I mean,
pants.
Yeah, well, you're wearing quite loose shorts as well, so I'd hope you don't.
Sorry, I missed Darren's intro as well.
Yeah, I was Darren too say, as well. Has that ever happened?
Well, it happens every fucking week, every single week.
I think I've given Darren two intros in, episode 23, in the 22 previous ones.
Do you ever write your own introductions? Like, that's something, like, see, when you go on stage and people are like, how do you want me to introduce you? Do you ever say, do this? Because I can imagine you would, but make it awkward for everyone.
That's a great idea.
That's a good idea.
Have you not done that?
Never.
I remember
you've just opened my mind there.
There was an American comedian that came over here. Do you remember the Americans used to come out for Glasgow Comedy Festival?
Yeah.
And they'd bring over, like, Hannibal Buress was one they'd bring over, and one of the ones I was hosting a lunchtime show at 1 p.m. at the Corinthian, where I'm sure you can do fucking 8 embargoed stories from the Corinthian nights out, but I was on and I was hosting this lunchtime show, and there's an American comic called Morgan Murphy, and she's got Netflix specials, she's brilliant. And I was like, how do you want me to introduce you? And that's always a polite question you ask on stage, and you go, whatever you want.
Yeah.
She went, can you say I've won this? Can you say I've won this? Can you say I'm Rolling Stone's top 10 comedians here? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? And I was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. And as I started doing it, you could tell all the Scottish people just started to hate her so much. Yeah. She's made it like 50 minutes, she'd out 4 minutes, and she came off. She was like, I'm not funny here. And I was like, don't get introduced like that. And the next gig she did, she smashed, because she didn't be like, tell everyone how good they were. Whereas, like, have you ever gigged in America?
Never.
That's what's like. Like, see, if you're doing 10 minutes.
She basically loved herself.
Well, no, I think that's what they do over there. Like, see.
In a good way. Like, yeah. She was bigging herself up.
But, like, you must have got this when you're playing football. Like, some cultures appreciate other things. Like, see, I was in America last week, and if you go, I've got a kid, they go, whoa! Is that clapping to you? Like,
yeah, the hollering and the whooping, yeah.
I did, like, 3 minutes of work for that. Like, I didn't do it. My wife did 9 months of all that kind of stuff, and whereas over here, like, if you go, I've got a kid, people are like, and what?
I think it's weather.
Would you think so?
I think it's weather. What, bad weather. No vitamin D. I find that abroad. When I was in, like, Cyprus.
Yeah.
Sunny all the time. I could say the most normal thing and be like, crazy Sherry. That's I was like, all right, easy crowd.
Yeah, maybe we should move there.
Also, like, look at the difference between the 3 years. Like, you look amazing. The 2 years look fucked.
Oh, I thought I was gonna be in between you two. Oh, that's fucking brutal.
I mean, compared to him.
Thanks for my compliment, bad after.
Yeah. Compared to him, the 2 years are fucked.
Yeah, yeah, that's quite funny, actually. Yeah, yeah.
If he wasn't there, we'd be all right. We'd be all right.
Nah. We're still getting picked last at PE. Like, it's not that good. It's not
now the crowd are going to hate me because you've bigged me up.
Yeah, no, it's better. Cheers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cheers. Oh, let's only compliment him for the next hour. That's a good plan, actually. I'm not against that.
You mentioned America there. You're just back from America.
Yeah, so I was over there, did some gigs, and then came back Monday, then did Sky Sports and lots of stuff for the Scotland-England game, which I don't know if you watched, but the game, we were dreadful, and I'd imagine this is something you actually do. I was bamming people up on the internet massively, and this is the first time I've ever seen it So before I did Sky Sports News, and I just slag England. That's what they get me on to do.
Yeah.
And it's lovely. They give me a free rein. They let me say pumped. They let me say anything. But this is the first time Twitter has started showing you your bookmarks. So how many people are bookmarking it to save it for later to come back to?
Oh,
212.
Okay. Really?
I would see the next day my mentions were just during the game.
Yeah.
Man U fan accounts and all that kind of stuff sticking it into me just straight away. And I was like, it's bad enough. I'm 4 pints into this tiny hangover during the game. We were so shit as well. But
that's
the
dream. That's the dream, to get those kind of bites.
It's that. And they put the tweets out, they put the videos out. TalkSport's good as well.
Yeah.
If you slag them off on TalkSport, you get lots of van men coming back at you. But yeah, they just let me go on and slag off whoever I want. England, and I was on the day after England lost 4-0 to Hungary. And Pete Graves was hosting. At one point he went, please stop. and I was I can't remember what I said. But I got a WhatsApp message from one of the producers that just said, fucking hell. I was like, yes, I'm doing good, man.
Amazing.
Breaking them. But yeah, man. Did you watch the game?
I watched about 15 minutes of it.
It was so bad.
And then I thought, man,
so bad.
It's only a friendly. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, true, man. Did you watch it?
Not the full game. I kind of lost. I had a weird vibe about it. I just knew that was going to happen. It almost seemed too good to be true.
Yeah.
And then we get pumped.
Doesn't matter. It was a friendly.
Aye, but...
I mean, Scotland are doing good in the...
Why are you so raging today, man? Fucking hell.
The rain. It's fucking raining outside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The weather, I told you.
Do you feel like that? See, if you play games in that, are you like, oh, it's only a friendly?
No, never.
Pure hard camera.
No. No, I don't think so. Sometimes I used to have it bad where the like lesser a game was, I'd almost find myself more nervous beforehand.
Yeah, okay.
Because like if for a big game, I wouldn't find it hard to get myself up for it.
That's like the opposite of most people, isn't it?
I think it's quite a common thing.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. That's why I think like top players are top players, because they're consistently, they'll apply that like to if it's a friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's you're the top team and you're playing the bottom team.
Yeah.
They're still at it. And then they'll like transfer that to every day in training. They're like, it doesn't matter. They have like their standards to be at every day.
I can't imagine. No, I know you do. I was going to say, do you ever feel like you can't be arsed with gigs? But I know you do. I've seen it numerous times over the years. It's like, oh, fuck, man.
On stage?
No, I'd just be raging about you have to go gig and stuff like that night and stuff like that.
Aye, of course I'd. Like, somebody would be like, do you want to open a gig in Edinburgh for 60 quid on a Saturday night? I'm like, fuck, no.
You still do
but
it?
But I will.
The amount of times I've said... Like, I remember my agent phoned me up and said, do you want to go do a gig in Bahrain in the Middle East?
Yeah.
And I was like, nah. And he told me the money. I was like, yeah. I've always fancied Bahrain. Yeah, like, let's do it, man. You change straight away your principles for money. Yeah, I'm not like that. There's days where I can't be arse gigging, but I think a lot of the time you're just like, I still can't believe I get away with this. Like what, like, when did you start after me? So I started like 2008, 2009.
Yeah, I started after you, aye.
Like the fact that we've got away with it for that long is insane, isn't it?
It's pretty surreal. I mean, I'm not ungrateful. I just, you know what it's like.
No. I don't, what do you mean? What do you mean? Do
I'm not ungrateful, but it's like, who the fuck wants to go to Inverness for 50 quid? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't go to Inverness for 50 quid.
Shout out Inverness.
I would have. I used to.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why I've got to that stage where I'm like, I can't be arsed because I've done it so much.
Yeah. Night buses and all that shit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I got the night bus a few weeks ago back from Glasgow back up to Perth one night. I missed the last train. Got the night bus at like 3 a.m.
You are not there.
No, sorry, it was about half two.
All right, sorry.
Not that I meant to do
this. Why did you even correct that?
I don't know, I do that a lot.
What a...
It's believable now.
I'm a story killer.
Now I get it. How did you find the night bus?
It was a good laugh.
Like, were you steaming or were you sober?
No, I was all right.
Right.
I was all right. And like a weird collection of people. Because there's some people who are maybe finishing a night shift... Maybe someone's starting a night shift and have to get the bus to wherever.
Yeah.
And then I think there must have been some sort of festival or some sort of party on. And there was a group of like about 7 or 8 people. Actually, sorry, it was 9. And
I can see you working that one in your head.
And they come on like dressed kind of like hippies.
Yeah.
And they're in their 40s and they all went straight to the back of the bus. Like kids, and I had earphones on, and I could still hear them like over my music singing songs.
Yeah.
And then like up towards the front where we were, I could see like people who were going for their jobs raging with them, like, fucking can they not just get on the bus?
I got a Edinburgh stand is right next. So it used to be if you were like a host night or whatever, it would be slightly later finished than the train would be. So you get the last bus home. And one time Elton John had played Meadowbank. And I remember thinking, I'm a bit steaming, I'll just sleep in this bus for a bit. And it just listening to Rocket Man for like 12 minutes all the way down. People just steaming with the glasses on.
Yeah.
Enjoying themselves. You're like, oh God.
It was
man.
A fiver back, wasn't it? Yeah. A fiver on the bus.
Yeah. It used to be, and the train was like 9.60. So you're like, fuck, am I getting the train, man? I'm getting that £5 sweet bus action.
96 stops.
I got one of the new electric ones, Ember. So it wasn't the mega bus.
An electric bus?
Ooh. I think it's electric.
How was it?
Ember.
Did you feel it bumpier?
Smoother? It was still quite loud. It still made the noise of a bus. But I mean,
I think they've just added
whatever that is. you know, electric cars, they have to actually add in the noise it makes.
No.
So they have to add in, this is not me making up something.
Yeah, this is something I Google straight after.
They have to add in the noise for safety. So people walking can hear it.
Yeah, that's fair, man. That's fair. Sense. Yeah. Because there's been times when...
And apparently they need to make it louder because people are complaining that it's too quiet. No, really. My friend Jamie, shout out Jamie.
Shout out Jamie.
We'll be watching and listening.
What does Jamie do?
He works...
He's a bus noiser.
He works in the automotive industry.
Just on iTunes and trying to find the right one over and over again.
I can at the exhaust.
Yeah, so that's a little...
this podcast is so versatile, isn't it?
Yeah.
We cover everything. Everything and anything.
Do you plan the topics before or do you just kind of go...
Loosely, yeah.
It's much better.
I try to, but...
I used to do a football
podcast. If you see me going down and looking at this, I'm struggling.
We used to do a football podcast and people would be like, oh, you're going to plan it? We'd be like, nah, we don't need to plan it. Every week when we ran out of time, we would just talk about, do you think Kofi Annan's really still alive? Like every week that was what we just go to. So have you got like a go-to that when I know you're struggling, you're going to bring out the bus noise chat again or something like that?
Nah, probably just silence.
Right, cool, I'm into that, yeah.
Blame like it on me.
I thought you were all going to do it.
Whereabouts in America were you?
In Miami.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'd never been, it was all right. It's interesting, man. Everyone's got Spanish as their first language. Like everyone. And it's... I've travelled a bit, like I've gigged abroad quite a lot and I don't, it's going to sound ungrateful, but English speaking countries aren't as fun to gig in as other countries. Like,
this could be a new niche, a podcast on ungratefulness.
Yeah.
Being grateful is all the rage now. So.
No, notice the difference in our careers though. He's Hollywood Beach in Miami and I'm like, I'm not gigging in Inverness. Fuck Inverness. 60 quid.
Yeah. But
some say Inverness is the Miami of Scotland.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get cocaine there too. So
was
good.
It Hollywood Beach you were gigging at?
No, so I was jumping about, and then my brother lives in America as well, so I'm trying to go out there a bit more. But see, like, that's what I'm saying, like, see, people that speak English, like, I've been to Australia lots and New Zealand, and it's all fine, but see, when you go to, like, the first abroad gigs I did was Norway, and that hesitation, so you tell a joke, and there's about half a second while they translate it in their head before they laugh.
Yeah.
And it's like crack. Like, because you don't know which one. Whereas if you get to, like, drunk Australians, like, they all pretend they're Scottish and stuff like that. It's not the same. Whereas, like so, yeah, European gigs, the first time I gigged in Asia, I was buzzing for it. And I walked out and there was two sex tourists asleep in the front row. And I was like, oh, this isn't as exciting anymore. I don't know if you ever, do you ever gig in Asia? Did you ever go out that way?
Never, mate. I get offered once and I get, it fell through.
I thought you did, yeah. I remember you telling me about it. Yeah.
What kind of places would you, like,
so Asia? I've done Thailand's got like a comedy circuit, so there's like theatres and stuff like that. Singapore, okay, as well, so I did like a big theatre in Singapore. It was great. Whereas like Cambodia, it's like tiny wee bars and stuff like that. But what they, part of the deal is,
would it be mostly like English bars or
yeah, you get lots of expats, yeah, apart from Singapore, where English is a first language.
Yeah,
so yeah, Malaysia, same. The Malaysia gig I did, the Crack House Comedy, which is now shut, a girl who was on the show before us started pretending to use the Quran as a tampon, and they did like take her off stage straight away because they were like, we'll get arrested, this will get shut down. And then about 2 years later, someone did a similar thing and someone filmed it, and then the whole place is shut down, the owner's in jail now and stuff like that. There's certain things, like I remember in Thailand just before I went on, they were like, if you make fun of the king, you get arrested.
Yeah.
Like straight away. And that's, but you know what it's like, see, when you go out. But
you'd know that. Because when you get into the airport, yeah, there isn't like the king everywhere.
But like, that's the last thing someone says to you before you go and speak for 30 minutes. That's all you think about all the time. So yeah, little things like that are like, but the best thing is, man, like when you go out there, I remember I was out with my now wife when we were in Cambodia, and she was raging at me because this guy came along with us and I was just buying him beers all the time. So it was like 12 p.m. at noon, and I'd bought him 4 beers, and she was like, you need to stop doing that. And I was like, why? I'm just trying to be nice. And she was like, he's our driver. And I was like, oh shit, yeah, and I'm getting the driver steaming to take us about. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a bad idea. I like it. I like going places.
I thought you were
going
to say it wasn't a guy.
Yeah, imagine. Because he's trying to fuck you. Oh, cool, yeah, yeah. No, I love getting over travel. You must be the same, man. See, when you're going out and playing, you're just seeing different stuff. And like, it must be different playing in Cyprus to playing in Dundee.
Yeah, no, well, is it?
Yeah.
It's very different playing there to playing in Scotland. When I first went over, I remember it was in, so I'd been to Bulgaria before for like just over a year, came back to Scotland, then ended up going over to Cyprus. And I remember the first, I went there in like mid-July, start of July, and when it's like nearly 35, 40 degrees there. And I've went there and tried to do the same way I would train as I would in Scotland. And after like the first week, at the end of every training, I was like, I was blowing up. I could barely run.
What do you mean? You
run
too much effort in?
Yeah, so I could be running around stupid, closing everyone, pressing everything, just trying to like that fucking all out effort. And then like we'd play little games or whatever at the end of training. And I'd see like all the fucking old Brazilian guys and Portuguese cruising, like full of energy. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Like, how fit are these? And I'm like, there's no way they're fitter than me. Like, I've just come from Scotland where fitness is king. And then I realized it's because of the weather, they just don't, you play at a slower tempo. Like, they don't go and press like crazy.
What about in games? It just all changed that way?
Yeah. So like games, the goalkeeper will rarely kick it long. And the other team generally won't press up. So it's just a case of like, they just pass out.
Do you ever find out what separate is for get it in the mixer or anything like that? Did they ever shout?
Well, no, because I'd be shouting it. Yeah. I'd be shouting it to them.
Because I've ever,
and anything I did shout at them, they just laughed. So
really, I've ever got to what they call Benfica game, and there was an old guy in front. I don't speak any Portuguese, and he was shouting the whole game, like just pointing. And I was with Haley, and she was like, "What do you think he's saying?" And I was like, "I know exactly what he's saying. Like, I've sat next to that guy so many times. Get the ball in the fucking box. Stop playing it backwards." I was like, "Oh, it's good that this is international." Angry dad shouting
just
at everyone.
By the tone of the shouting.
Just the inflection at the end of each thing, just getting angrier and angrier. I mean, Benfica were like 4-1 up or something like that.
I was thinking this after going to the golf during the summer, the Scottish Open. There was a lot of football fans. So any like golf event in Scotland or in the UK, there's going to be a crossover of football fans going to the golf. And see, like at golf, it's real respectable when the people hold up the quiet signs.
Yeah.
Everyone adheres to it and is quiet. So I was thinking like football fans can clearly, they can clearly adhere to that. Yeah. So try that at the stadiums, at football matches. Just bring
an umbrella.
A quiet sign. Take one from the golf.
It's not...
quiet.
Joe, it's weird because you're saying about like football fans and stuff like that. You can have the rowdiest gigs and 80% of the time they'll be absolutely silent the minute the comedian comes on. And like, you're very good at it, and that the minute someone chats, you just fucking try to fight them straight away. And it's so funny to... Who is that? Because when we gigged together not that long ago... You were, I can't remember, you're telling the guy to fuck off or something, I can't remember. And then slagging him heavily, and he came up and introduced himself to me after. He's like, "Oh, I'm one of Darren's pals." He's the guy that does, he gets the bodies out of Clyde.
Adam.
I was like, "Oh, he's absolutely taking this guy's shreds." And he introduced me, and I was like, "Oh, I've misread this massively, man."
I went to the boys' brigade with him.
But I don't, because that fascinated me. That genuinely fascinated me, because I would never talk to someone I know on stage.
Yeah.
Because in case, see if I was like, and Adam, like, I'm slagging him like you were, and he goes, "What about that time you?" He'd be like, "Oh, fuck." Like,
yeah.
"What about that time you winched a goth?" And then...
I enjoy it, though. I do enjoy it. Like, see, when I first started and people did that, it made me really struggle. But now I actually enjoy it. I enjoy getting heckled. And if anybody ever talks, I just go towards the noise.
That's what I mean, like, that day, like, straight away I was watching it.
Yeah, I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. It's good.
Everyone get along to the funny bunch.
I did his mate as well. I slaughtered his mate. His mate was like built like a big brick shit house. Yeah. And I was like, "You're like a big goofy cunt out of Mice of Men. You know that guy that's like, I just wanted a touch of ears." Yeah. Like proper Lenny. I was like, "Ah, you a big goofy fucking freak." And then after it, he's like, "Ah, good gig, my man."
That's the thing, like, see, comedy. People will tell you anything as well. Like, see if you go up to a couple and go, "How did you meet?" If you ask a stranger, they'll be like, "No," and then they'll tell you how the most, like, it's insane the power you get really quickly.
Yeah.
And it's just funny because you have that power, but you just abuse the people. Yeah, I forgot about the mouse. Again, like, the people that are your fans, because you built up a fan base so quickly. Remember Vine?
Yeah.
And, like, straight away, so you had... And it's always...
But I won't pick on random people. I only pick on them if they talk.
Which is, I find insane.
Or make a noise.
I would pick on the random people.
Yeah. So it's not until they do something, then I'll do something.
Do you ever have something prepared and then just like point out at someone and then just go along with it? Like use what you've already thought of?
There's like a couple of like cliche bits I'll do. Yeah, go-tos. Like I remember I did Frankie Boyle's tour... 2019 and
shout out Frankie Boy.
Yeah, shout out Frankie. And one night Frankie just got heckled and he just pulled out a list of heckle put downs he'd written down. And he just started going like, "How many did you want?" The guy was like, "Four," and he would just absolutely batter four and just put it back in his pocket and just keep going. It was such a good way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
And because when I did his tour, I didn't get heckled once in 16, 18 shows, and the minute Frankie came on, he would get heckled every night.
Oh, really?
Every night, yeah. Most tour sports have done
people
like...
people would just want to be destroyed by him.
Yeah, they want that attention. Yeah, they want that attention. And that's... because he'd built up that profile before, and he's an incredible stand-up. Like, an incredible stand-up. And sometimes he didn't get to do that because people were just being balanced. But even though, more recently, we've done a lot more shows, and his audience has become a bit more left-wing.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of the Guardian stuff he's written and all that kind of stuff. So, it's fun. Have you ever had to leave the stage because of a fight?
Yes, I have.
I'd never had to do this until last year. What was yours?
You can go first because I know your one. I think it was in the news, actually. No, wasn't it?
No, I don't think mine. I hope it wasn't.
Was it the Glee?
Aye.
Yeah.
Was it in the news? Oh, fuck, I didn't know.
Do you know, I'm sure it was such a big thing that I heard from it from people that were outside comedy.
So I was on stage at the Glee, and I've got a thing, I've got metal arm. It's like, I broke my arm playing football.
Oh, okay.
And so I asked people if anyone got metal plates, and you get, oh, see in America, this was, a woman went, it just summed up America perfectly for me. I went, anyone got metal plates? And this woman was like, I've got two metal knees from my time in the army. And these people started like, whoa. Yeah. And she went, the Australian army, and all the Americans just went, just stop clapping straight away. It was like, thank you for serving. Oh, another country? No, fuck off, man. And yeah, so I went, maybe got metal plates, and I chatted to a couple of guys. And this guy was like, I've got a metal dick. And I just kind of put a put down, like heckle put down. And he shouted again. And I was like, aye, very good. And it was all under control, right? It was fine. Next time I look up, I don't know what happened that in between bit, but the guy's in a chokehold with a bouncer. The guy's like trying to punch him over his head. Wow. And I'm on stage, like, and this is me. This is last year.
Can you see all this going on?
Yeah, it's maybe 20 yards in front of me. And I'm commentating on it because I was like, I don't know what else to do, so I was just commentating on it. And then they hit the floor. And I was like, oh, I don't know what to do now. And I was like, I tell you what, we're going to have a 5-minute break because they're still wrestling and all that. I heard someone shout, we need medical attention. So I was like, I better go off. And I came off. And then Frankie never watches me, ever. And he's at the curtain, he just pulls back, he goes, best gig you've ever done. And then I walk out and I go to go back on maybe 10 minutes later. And they go, oh, just a minute, we're still cleaning up the blood. And wow. I go out, so that's maybe my time up. So I go, right, I'll just introduce Frankie. And Frankie comes on and does such a good heckle put down. He goes on and someone heckles him straight away and he went, do you not see what happened to the last guy? And then the gig was amazing after that. But that guy, when he left the venue, thought the bouncers at Cineworld were the same as the Glee.
No way.
And went and knocked out another bouncer.
No way.
So we were all getting caught up in that. What was your fight?
That's horrible. Did they get charged?
He got charged. Yeah.
Did he hit them with his metal dick?
Oh, I don't know. Like a golf swing. He broke my hip.
Mine's was like... It was definitely when I was a open spot. Do you remember the Red Door gig?
Yeah. There was a couple. It was like Dumbarton and Linlithgow or something like that.
It was Linlithgow.
Yeah.
It was with the Reverend and Stephen Halcrow. Remember him?
Stephen Halcrow took me on a food tour in Cambodia.
Yes. Like,
so Stephen Halcrow was unbelievably nice guy, but teetering on the edge at all times, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Is he still alive?
Yeah. He moved over to Cambodia and started running a food tour. He was a chef at Crab Shack or something like here.
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever see his character?
Yes.
What was it again?
He dressed up as a Boy Scout.
Okay.
But didn't really, did he reference it?
Yes, he did. I don't know if I can bring up the subject on a podcast.
Oh, okay. Was it that?
Yeah. I don't know if I can say that one.
Do you know, I never...
Well, when you said he was dressing up as a Boy Scout, I thought it was going in a dodgy direction.
Yeah. I never saw him do that character, but I met him outside a gig wearing that uniform and I was like, what the fuck is that?
So he was, I think we can probably edit this out. He used to be in the Boy Scouts when he was younger.
Yeah.
And something really bad happened to him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And through comedy, he's embraced it and owned it. He found it funny.
Yeah.
But no one else found it funny. So... I smoked DMT with him once.
I remember he was just, everyone loved him. He's the best guy, man. But so what?
I smoked DMT with Stephen and I cracked then in Pollock in Vicky Road.
Nice.
In a house with no curtains and stuff. Literally.
I mean, you're in the right place.
Yeah. Just you and him?
There was somebody else there, but I can't name them.
Comic?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So that night it was
let's play Hangman. Like I'll guess letters and then we'll go that way.
Well, that night it was the Reverend Stephen Halcrow and me, and I was on stage and it was quite similar. A guy was heckling, and I think
was he heckling Stephen in the Boy Scout outfit or
heckling everybody?
Right.
I tell you a lie. It was actually the Reverend. He was heckling the Reverend, and the Reverend just went in mental.
Yeah.
And a guy shouted at him like, shut the fuck up. And they were rolling about the carpet, man. It was shite.
Do you have changing rooms you had to break up fights in?
Not really, no. I mean, there's been a few fights, but nothing.
Any like good ones where you were sad they got split up? Like two guys you hated or anything?
Nah. Have you ever been attacked?
Nah.
No. Boring bastard.
Why did you ask that? That's the most excited I've seen you in years, by the way. Mate, tell me about the time you got knocked out.
Like, have you never been attacked?
About when we were in Hong Kong?
No.
On this, no?
No, I don't think so.
Do you ever remember that, Paul?
No.
Sure I did. Anyway, go again.
But it's weird. I just saw Paul there. I didn't realise he was wearing a Boy Scouts uniform.
In Hong Kong, we went and played like these. There's a seven-a-side tournament every year.
So who are you with at this point?
Sevens at Celtic. Right. And Celtic send the reserve team. The youth team. Reserve team. And there's like Rangers were there, Aston Villa, a local Hong Kong team, a local like kind of English academy team over there. Yeah. Maybe one or two more Premier League teams. And it's the end of season thing. And there's also a Masters tournament that runs parallel with
it. I know that one, yeah.
The Hong Kong Sevens, I think is what it's called. And so you're there for a week. You do a few days training for the first few days, and then there's games, two days of games, I think. And then the last night is the big night out where everyone can go out and whatever. And
but all the teams in that?
All the teams, all the Masters, everyone are out in Hong Kong. And because it's the end of season, and it's also the end of the tournament. Yeah. So it's like, that's everyone on the holidays.
It's a blowout.
So we ended up out in this bar or club, and I was going to the toilet, and I was walking past the storeroom, and for whatever reason, I just saw like loads of drinks there. So I just grabbed like, let's say 4 or 5 bottles of beer and brought them into the toilets with me. And it was like, cause it was, everyone was kind of there, the same people. Yeah. I was like, oh, here lads, have a beer or whatever. And then thought nothing of it. It was all funny having a drink in the toilets, then went back out. And then like, that was it. I didn't go back into that storeroom or anything. Continued to legally buy my drinks for the rest of the night. And then later on, thought nothing of it. Later on, went back to the toilets. And next thing, the manager of the place comes in with 3 fucking big security guys, bouncers. And he goes, yeah. I'm not going to do it. The accent.
Yeah, don't.
He goes,
yeah.
You stole drink from me. You stole our drink. And I was like, straight away, I was like, oh, sorry. I'll pay. How much is it? No, you're not paying. And then 2 bouncers have held me up, one this side, one the other side. And the other guy, the third one, is just standing there fucking giving me karate kicks to my stomach. And then, so I'm like thinking, oh, shit. So then they tried to huckle me out and take me out like a little side entrance and then probably beat the shit out of me. John Beresford was there with Newcastle Masters.
Yeah.
He saw it happen and he ran out and grabbed me from them and took me out. Saved my life potentially. John Beresford.
There's something beautiful about him. Not even punching you, just kicking you.
It was,
was it agony?
No, because I'd had a few drinks. They're like, bring it on.
Yeah, pretending it hurts.
Yeah. I tell people this all the time, that the whole time I've done stand-up, the funniest thing I've ever seen happen to him. Do you remember this?
I'm not too sure.
It was genuinely one of the funniest 4 or 5 minutes of my life. And supposedly the wee man has it in film, but he's never put out. I used to help Chris Forbes run a gig called The Fun Junkies. Does that ring any bell?
Yes.
And you did this thing, it was called the Crazy Comedy Charity Challenge, where you got 5 minutes, you would do your 5 minutes of stand-up, and then something would happen to you for 5 minutes, you did the same stand-up. If you did it, we would give £100 to the charity of your choice.
Okay, yeah.
So mine's, I remember I did one of the first ones, you got, I did chilies in Tabasco sauce, and then ghost chili, and then eating them and every joke, so I'm like crying, all that kind of stuff. Mark Nelson had a great one, where he did 5 minutes and went out of the room, and we handed out 1,000 elastic bands, and he came back in with a blindfold, and for the first minute he was just holding on to the mic stand, not sure, and then someone gave the signal and the first elastic band hit him in the Adam's apple, and went, oh, and the second one hit him in the boss. He was just doubled over. And then for him, we hired a wrestler from who's now in WWF or WWE to come and body slam him after every joke.
No way.
I swear to God, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. He was like trash talking the referee, the wrestler, despite potentially being concussed at one point.
You could see him. You were.
Yeah, so he wasn't blindfolded.
Yeah, yeah.
So the guy walks. Do you remember what you did for any of it?
I can't really remember, but I know
remember
it was
so vivid. Because I was hosting it. So I'm on stage, and this is on the wee. If you've been standing, it's on like the mezzanine level. I remember you knocked out two lights.
Yeah.
And we should have had to pay for that. And the guy at the stand, Brian, was like, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. I'll pay for it. I'm like, don't worry about that. The wrestler comes out and he's like 6'8" maybe.
It was Barry Young.
Wolfgang, he was called. Yeah. I don't know if that was his name.
6'8"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holding hands with
there, he was like six.
Oh, yeah. It was a child prodigy. Yeah. Yeah. And he's holding hands with like the wrestling girl. And I remember your first thing you said was, is that your bird? She'll be mine by the end of it. And before you've even told a joke, he walks over and just body slams you. And we've got like a crash map. We find out the minute he gets body slammed, we're like, that's way too thin, yeah, man. Yeah. And you got up and you went, I thought this was wrestling and not a tickling contest. So the guy chopped you. And the noise, by the way, like reverberate. Yeah. There's like 100 people that reverberates, yeah, all around. He's pure winded going, that was more like a high five. And he picked you up again and body slammed you again.
Yeah.
And we heard your head hit the ground there. Yeah. So we're like, fuck with it. And I remember I came over and I was like, Darren, you've done it. And you went, gets me out of the house and just walked out the venue. And that was it. It was 4 minutes of absolute beautifulness. And then Michael Redmond was headlining. So Michael Redmond was Father Stone and Father Ted. Michael, yeah, at the time, 67, 68, yeah, years old.
This is the most boring priest in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Michael walks on stage wearing the wrestler's outfit, knee pads, elbow pads, does not reference it, does 20 minutes of stand-up and then walks back in. It was just, everything about that night was perfect. But yeah, I think you might, yeah, have been concussed. You got absolutely slammed.
Yeah, I got a concussion, mate. I got a concussion.
I remember your head hitting the ground so hard.
Yeah, smashing lights. That was so much fun, man. It was so funny, wasn't it? I remember just like I ended up walking home. I actually walked off the stage,
Yeah, I remember you didn't even go backstage, you just walked out, I remember.
Yeah, like walked, I got midway home and I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like totally confused. Yeah,
we should have done a welfare check on you, man. Like, we just, like,
mate, that's happened a few times. I did a Grado wrestling event and Grado wanted me to dress up as Bobby, but we couldn't get the Bobby stuff. So he's
what,
like,
you couldn't get it?
Well,
it was glasses.
It was so last minute, right. They were like, my dad's got a Parker jacket. Grado was like, I'll give you my dad's jacket. Yeah. And it was like slidey tent material. So he's like, oh, can you come and do this thing at the pavilion? I was like, aye, all right. And he's like, you done wrestling training? I done a wee bit of wrestling training years ago, though. Years, like, never even finished it. And he's like, can you take a bump? And I was like, I've not took a bump in like 10 years. This guy, right, a Manchester wrestler called The Destroyer or something, comes out. Now, the guy is...
And what are you doing? Are you just walking in? Are you on the ring? What's happening?
I'm like somebody's manager,
right?
And it's all improvised and it's on the spot, kind of. The guy's like, The Destroyer guy's like, can you take a bump? And I was like, aye, like a wee bump, but nothing fucking mental. The guy was easily 30 odd stone, maybe bigger. Honestly, the biggest, a big, big guy. Yeah. Something get botched and he's like, instead of you falling, I'm just going to throw you at the ring. And I was like, aye, go for it. Flung me at the ring, right? But see, because
what's
of
the drop?
It was a drop, but see, because the material in my jacket was like slidey tent material. Right. I did that. Right out the ring, landed on my fucking head in the pavilion, and everybody in the pavilion and the crowd just done that. Oh! Like, it was a kids' wrestling show, and I had a solo show that night in East Kilbride.
What are you doing wrestling in the day then?
So, doing that during the day, doing my solo show at night. And I was standing in East Kilbride on the stage, like, guys, I think I've got a fucking concussion. And I was
but if it's you, because that sounds like a bit you would do. Like, it doesn't sound real. Do you have like a neck brace like Angelus Epitherma? Like,
oh, mate, I was being sick and all that throughout the day. I was like, yeah, I've got a concussion. The Destroyer. He was stinking of shite as well, by the way. He was actually stinking of shite.
I thought you were going to say he tried to squash you or anything like that.
Oh, mate, he picked us up like I was nothing and just flung us. And then Grado, after it, was like, there's 20 quid. I'm like, cheers, mate.
It's a taxi to hospital.
Don't even get your doctor's appointment.
I don't know. Well, no. So there we go.
Didn't you done wrestling training?
I did it for like, it was...
In the hopes of wrestling?
I don't even really know why I'd done it, to be honest.
I remember you just, it was at the time where you were doing different things, you were like, it's just something to do, innit?
Yeah, it was something to do for like 10 weeks.
Do you do barber training as well?
Yeah, I was a barber.
Yeah,
I was
a barber.
Wait, you done barber training or did you finish it?
I finished the course, yeah. I've got a qualification, mate. That could be a wrestler, the barber.
That was one.
Barber Beefcake.
Bruce the Barber Beefcake, yeah. Maybe that's your dad, I don't know.
My special move is the side shed. Short bang side.
It was just so good watching you lose confidence in that straight away. The side shed.
See, the thing is, my cousin's a wrestler, right? Yeah. Her name's Lucy Gowdy, and she wants me to be her manager. So I don't know why I find it so funny.
As you or as Bobby or as...
I really don't know.
An actual manager or like
a wrestling manager. So I don't know.
Would you get to pick your own wrestling name?
I don't know.
I think that'd be good. I think you could come up with some good ones.
But I mean, would you be in on taking part in the wrestling? That's what I mean. Or like as
I think he'd be the side of the, you know, the guys that the walk them down and all them.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So not her actual like business manager.
He's not doing her accounts. That's
what I meant. Fucking look at me, mate. Do you think I'm getting anywhere near somebody's accounts?
Yeah, but you know the business of wrestling. You've been in it for
calculating VAT on the 20 quid from Grado.
Ah, okay. Oh, so you'd be part of her. What's the
Entourage,
the real famous
thing,
one?
Yeah.
The old guy who used to go and WWF.
Who, the manager?
Yeah.
Vince McMahon?
No, he was like you would have been. He was part of the...
Jimmy Hart?
I don't know.
Paul Bearer, the Undertaker guy?
Paul Bearer, yeah. Great really name, small, tiny little guy.
Yeah, really high-pitched voice.
You're saying I look like him?
Paul Bearer,
he's getting it.
Yeah. Oh, the Undertaker, it's all coming together
we
now.
Should make up a character that is just so shite. Like the bin man or something.
The destroyer.
Yeah.
The bin man.
He's got the destroyer because he shites himself all the time.
He was.
The bin man. I bet you there's been a wrestling bin man.
Come out to the ring with a recycling bin and you stuff the guy in it. You're getting recycled.
Yeah.
To a room full of 400 Waynes.
Yeah.
Who's wanting recycled?
Instead of casket matches, you get the bin match. Definitely. That would happen. Like you're trying to cram them in. I'm in it.
What about the vegan?
There's got to be one of them already, man. Yeah.
CM Punk's a vegan, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah.
You're vegan?
Loosely.
You big vegan energy.
Loosely.
Big vegan energy.
Really?
Yeah. Do you think?
Yeah.
Do you know my morning smoothie routine? Every morning, without fail. Not without fail. I've been good for the last, I'd say, 2-3 weeks. I've had this every morning. I'll have spinach, an orange, an apple, a carrot, a tomato, oats, frozen berries, ginger, a little bit of maybe oat milk, a banana, celery, blend it all up.
I don't trust celery, man.
Blend all that up and that's me.
What, are you having that with someone to eat? Or are you just down
in
that smoothie and going?
No, you can't. It's like...
Is it thick?
It's about 1.3, 1.4 litres. It takes me a good, after poured into a big jug, it takes me a good 15 minutes.
How big's your smoothie maker, man?
It's a big one.
What, is it thick?
No, because it's full of juices.
1.4 litres?
It'll hover around 1.3, 1.4, depending.
That's like the bottle of juice you get when you get like a Domino's. Yeah. Like that
could be.
I have my 5 a day before 8:30 every day.
That could be your wrestling name, the blender.
The blender.
Tell him what you done the other day, mate. 15.
Oh, so I had a little bit of a cold.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, I need to blast this out of me. So took 15 vitamin C tablets.
Up the arse, sorry.
And a clove of garlic, just orally.
And how did you feel after?
I had to go to the toilet. And I had no decision on if I was going to the toilet or not. And I was sitting for a good 10-15 minutes.
Oh,
but it completely emptied me out.
Did it empty your cold out as well or not really?
Yeah, no, I felt better as the evening went on. As I got up off the floor, I started to feel a bit better.
I feel... if you. I've called me old fashioned, but if I'm taking a clove of garlic as well, I'm dropping the tablets down by 5. I think 15 plus a clove of garlic is too many. You do 15 tablets or you do 10 tablets and a clove?
Nah, I got it all in. All in.
How many is in a pack? 16?
Of 16
tablets. So were you just missing one?
No, I got a big jar of them. I buy in bulk.
For days like you leaving one out because it's too many. Like, oh, 16. Yeah. I'm not a fucking idiot. Just do the 15.
No, 16 is too much. But no, I Googled it after. I mean, I Googled it after. I should have Googled it beforehand.
No, I never Googled before, man.
But just... I Googled after and it was like, said all you can get is, I think, nausea. Basically said, there was no stories OD'd. Of anyone dying from it. So I'm here today. So it's worked and I'm feeling better today than
I did. Weigh yourself before and after?
No, but I have done in the past.
Could be a good way of losing weight. Just hitting the. I don't recommend hitting the 15 tabs.
The smoothie would do that to me. The smoothie, I could then, if I like went to the toilet, weighed myself beforehand and after the toilet, it'd usually be about a kilogram.
Yeah, because you're fucking 1.4 liters. That's why.
Yeah, it's.
It's the weight of it, man.
That's like a big, massive bottle of water, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a 1.3 litre bottle of water.
Yeah, well, I suppose, yeah.
What did I have for breakfast this morning? Toast.
Toast.
I was running out with my wee boy. Wanted to go to gymnastics. So we went there, play gym. He just jumps in his head the whole time, man. That's all he does. He loves it. He loves danger.
Yeah. He can take a bump.
Ah, you can take a bump. Fuck, I'll text Grado. How about your jacket?
We'll see that. The thing is, see, when I checked the pockets, there was like change in it and stuff. And I like, put that in the back pocket.
I made £22.
Aye. I've got dementia by I'm 40, but there's £3 in this pocket.
Easy gig.
Yeah.
You doing solo shows again yet?
I did my first tour last year.
Are you doing more again?
I've not got anything booked in for this year. I'm kind of...
Did you enjoy it? Because that's the thing, like, seeing comedy, like, you work your way up to try and get into tours. And then when you do it, you're like, it's all right, isn't it?
I did, but I was very unlucky because I left my agent and then I went into this Scottish guy that was just an absolute arsehole. So it started off as a bin fire.
Yeah.
But by the end, I sold out the... Sarah Watson came in and saved it. Okay. And I sold out the Oren Moore and stuff.
Yeah, my mates went to Oren Moore. Yeah,
but when it first started, I was just like, I can't believe how unlucky I've been. And, you know, I was turning up at venues and I didn't even know if I sold a ticket because of this fucking idiot. So...
Guys that just never led up to their potential. Yeah. And you always wonder where you're going to go and when it's going back. Because, like, you know yourself, man, if you don't have a club just now, when you're self-employed, you're like... How long does this last? What happens next? All that kind of stuff. So,
like, you know, you sell out every single Glasgow show you've done since you've started, and then you'll be like, this is not going to last forever. You know, there's a wee scary.
It's funny. I sold 1,200 in Glasgow this year, and they were doing it again this year, and I was like, oh fuck, because even if I get 1,100. That's not as good as last year, which is mad. I would have killed for that. And like the Edinburgh show we're doing is like, it's a 900 seater. And the most I've ever done in Edinburgh before is like 140. So it's such a huge jump. Yeah. You're like, fuck, right. Okay. So you got to kind of like back yourself on it. But other people do it. Other people back you. Cause if it was me, you'd be like, maybe let's err on the side of caution and do smaller ones, whatever. But we'll see. I got dead lucky after COVID and that I did John Bishop's tour support. So I did that for...
What's it?
John Bishop, the Scottish comic. So I did that for like 6 months. So I went on tour with him.
Oh, support.
Yeah, so we did like all the arenas and all that. And see, without that, I would have been fucked after COVID. Because I'd built up a profile and it just dropped, man. Because we couldn't gig inside for like 15 months.
No.
Do you do any Zoom gigs?
Nope. I never done... I did one gig at the Stand and the camera broke. And I was like, I'm not going back to this until this is normal.
Yeah.
And even at that, even when we did start back gigging, I still never fully went back until, I mean, my first gig back was like...
I was at one of the first couple ones. Remember we did one in, it was like Stirling or something like that. It was like me, you and Jennings, it was like a Burns night. No, St. Andrew's night. No, what? What's the one in January? Burns night.
it needs to be the correct night because
it was Burns Night.
We're big on true stories here.
Right, okay. So it was Burns Night or St. Andrew's Night. No, it was Burns Night. And it was me, you, and Mark Jennings, and Jennings wore tartan trousers. Do you remember that?
Yes.
He went on first, he's first smartly dressed, he's on the middle arm at the end, and I was like, I'm dressed like shit. And I was like, fuck, who else is on corner? I was like, I'll be fine. Like, I'll be fine.
Aye, because it's no far away for this. It's just pitch your
longer
picture the legs. Aye. Cheers.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That was a good gig though.
Yeah, it was, but yeah. I remember you saying like it was his first gig in like 2 years. Yeah. And I was like, I did like 80 shows on Zoom trying to make all kind of stuff, and he was just like, nah, I can't be arsed.
Yeah.
Class.
I worked as a window cleaner.
Did you?
Yep.
You've done so many things. So many things.
The window cleaner.
Yeah. Mate, that's it.
That's a good gimmick for ladders cleaner, matches, man. Yeah.
The squeegee, you cover their mouth. Yeah. Like a Mr. Socko situation. There's bird shite on it. Ah. Mate, that's how I got back into comedy. I came in here as a guest for a podcast, and the guy asked me to do a podcast with him, and he was kind of fucking me about. And I said to Paul, the producer, I was like, mate, I can't wait for this guy any longer. And Paul was like, why don't you just start your own podcast? And then I did my own podcast for like 6 months.
Yeah.
And then Eva emailed me and was like, do you want to close a Red Raw? And that was my first gig back, mate. Closing a Red Raw in front of a sold out stand.
Yeah.
Now I thought, I've never been cocky, right? But I was like, oh, it's a Red Raw. Fuck it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
See, when I was on that stage.
You shine it.
Mate, I was sweating salt. Salt was coming at me. I was behind the curtain like that. That tastes like salt. Because that was the whole lockdown. I'm away from everybody. I'm not talking to anybody.
Yeah.
And then I'm in a room with 200 people and I'm on stage. I'm fat as fuck. My hair's fucked. And I'm on stage. Now, everybody's got some bankers, right?
Yeah.
I've got some bankers that I've...
You get baby married out?
Well, I can't remember what I'd done, but I'm talking about stuff that you've not even used in 10 years.
Trolley boy.
I went up and I was like, I'll just drop into my old shit. I was so nervous, I forgot everything. I just literally forgot everything, mate. But I still done all right, so. But after that, I was like, fucking hell, man. That made me realise that this is a muscle. It is
definitely
a muscle.
Totally.
But aye, that was mental, man.
It's like, I was doing two shows this year and then... So I do both halves. So I do 45, 2:45. So I do like 90 minutes on stage every night. And I went back at the end of it and I went to the club. So you do 20 minutes and I couldn't remember how to do 20 minutes. And I was like,
really?
I've been doing 90 minutes a night. But the way it flows and all that, you're like, oh, fuck, man. See, after I did, I've never told anyone this. My last gig with Bishop was at the O2 in London. And then I did my own solo shows for a couple of nights or more. And my first gig back was bona fide at the Glasgow Stand to 30 people. So I've done, on the Friday I've done 11,000. On the Wednesday I'm doing 30, 40. Good gig though. And Jay Lafferty came up to me at the end. Great comic. She was like, you need to sort your eye line out. And I was like, why? So I'd been doing like arena gigs. For
okay,
like,
yeah.
I'm like that the whole gig. And there's 30 cunts there. And I'm like that the whole night. And then she was like, yeah. You need to look at the people that are in the audience. I was like, oh, fuck, yeah. And then, I phoned Bishop and I was like, mate, I've lost it. I'm not the person I used to be. He went, you think that's bad? I'm in the Bahamas and we've just moved hotel because the swimming pool was smaller than the one in our house. He's, it was mad. So that was like coming back to all that and like trying to write a new tour just now, man. He's like, so I've told you what I'm doing.
No.
So I am doing a show called Doppelginger, where I'm going to try find the person that looks most like me. So like I was on a phone call yesterday to try find billboards in London and I'm going to try, because I'm so fed up of people coming up to me and going, you look like my mate, and they'll show me a picture and I'm just another fat, bald ginger guy. Like, I don't know. The amount of times I get John Hartson or Liam Boyce and stuff like that, Liam Boyce I see a lot more than I see Hartson, but you must get lookalikes all the time, man.
I used to get the guy from the show on Sky. Oh, I can't think of it now. Other than that.
Who do you get lookalikes?
Yeah.
Who'd you get?
Anytime I'm wearing glasses, I get the, do you know, is your porridge lumpy for Sweet 16? Is it Sweet 16? You know the wee guy with the bin?
Tree Bears.
What?
Goldilocks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's like, is your porridge Lumpy McGregor or something?
Sweet 16, the Martin Compson film?
Yeah.
That is the most niche lookalike, man.
Yep.
A film from 2005.
Siler. Siler. Was there ever a character on called Siler?
Can't remember.
You all right?
Siler rings a bell. That was the guy that the people said I looked like.
I thought you were talking about the Sweet 16.
No, sorry, sorry. It just came to be there.
No. Yeah, so I'm going to try, like...
So I just scoured...
Yeah, scour the world.
The UK.
You know, the world, man. I'm going...
What would you do if you actually found somebody that was identical? That'd
I'd be absolutely buzzing, man. I'd fake my own death.
Sorry, there was a guy in Cyprus. There was a guy in Cyprus who was the spitting image of me.
Really?
Just a normal guy. And
did you used to see him? Or
and
did...
was out one night and the guy's friends have come over and they're like, Sherry, come here. Come see our friend. And I was like, I think I know what this is about. And they're like, well, wait till you see him. So I've turned around the corner. I was like, holy shit. He actually does look exactly like me. And I'm sure he had long hair as well. But there was times where I'd go into training. And I remember one day the goalkeeping coach, or it happened twice. Once was the goalkeeping coach. And he was like, Sheridan, what were you doing last night?
Did you do much?
And I was like, nothing. It might have been like a Sunday night or something. And we were in on the Monday. And I was like, didn't do anything. And I was like, no. You weren't in the name of the bar or whatever. You weren't in here? And I was like, no. And I was like, someone said they saw you in there. And I was so confused because I didn't know about the guy at this stage. Yeah. And I remember another time the physio was like, I didn't know you liked that kind of music, like rock music. And I was like, or might it be? It was rock music. And I was like,
you look great in chaps.
I was like, no, I don't know. And he was like, yeah, you were in that rock, like real hardcore rock nightclub the other night. Like a Monday night or something. And I was like, well, yeah, no, it wasn't. And I was like, then after when I saw the guy, I was like, fucking you. You've got me in so much shit.
It's like a proper film plot, isn't it? He just goes around, ruins your career.
Yeah. Fucking.
I want to know what is your porridge Lumpy guy looks like.
Paul, could you Google that?
I just didn't. I couldn't find him. I think Dylan looks a wee bit like Robbie Williams.
His cousin.
What, Darren?
Darren That's Connell, he very looks like hurtful. A chip shop Robbie Williams.
All right, fuck's sake.
Oh, the famous Robbie Williams.
Yeah, not just a guy.
I just thought you meant that Robbie Williams you knew.
Fucking chip shop Robbie Williams. You could have said anything else there. You slightly chubby, maybe. Yeah. Fucking chip shop.
Nothing wrong with a chip shop.
Who else did I get? My dad called me a fat Marlon Brando once. I've had that. You kind of look like Marlon
That's
Brando.
Like 60 years old.
But when he was fucked.
That's such a brutal one, man.
That's a good one. In a bad way, sorry.
That's right. One,
do you ever watch Friends? Phoebe's boyfriend, the cop that shoots the bird, Michael Rapaport. I have the same face as him. Like the actual same face. Like,
yeah, I see that.
You put pictures next to it. Like, yeah. Everything else is weird, the same face, it's weird. I texted him, I tweeted him once saying, we've got the same face, do you want to get a pint and stare at each other? And he blocked me.
What?
I don't think that's good. Hartson did the same and then said it wasn't him that was running it. I did a gig
that old one.
Yeah. I did a gig and his wife was in the front row and she was like, it's weird just looking at someone that's slimmer and funnier than my husband. And I was like, fucking yes, John. Get it up, yeah.
And was it after that that he blocked you?
No, he was more open that time. Yeah. He was like, don't know, maybe I'm going to replace him. I don't know. But yeah, every bald ginger guy I get tagged in pictures. And see, whenever I do telly, I see other people getting tagged in it. Okay, saying, you look like this guy. Yeah, just, yeah. And it looks nothing like him.
When I saw... what did you say there?
What bit?
I just had a blank there in my mind.
I was saying about I just get tagged and anytime I do telly, I see other people get tagged. Like just generic ones.
Yeah. So now like if a guy fucking looking... shaggy with long hair and looks terrible, then I'm kind of waiting for it and I'll hear someone, Killian! Like the lads are training or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, good one.
He's a... I think having spent time with footballers and occasionally a football changer before interviewing and stuff like that, some people have brilliant banter and some are dreadful.
It's absolutely very dreadful. Yeah, it's very the same.
Yeah.
Everywhere. You could go into like nearly every dressing room in the UK and it'll be the same kind of...
The same personality kind of things. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
okay,
you can just like slip into it. So I'm no like, if I'm kind of struggling somewhere to be funny, I'm like, right, I can just go to the...
Transfer request.
I can just go to the like what I know will get a laugh.
What's that like, bamming up the kit man?
Yeah, or yeah, like saying to or slagging someone. Like,
yeah. Have you found them?
I found them.
Yeah.
And it's actually kind of scary because you know how we were talking about if I was a wrestler,
yeah,
I would be called the bin man. So this guy was in a film called The Angel's Share.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's another Ken Loach film, right? Yep. Okay, yeah, yeah.
He was also in Sweet 16, okay, but he has chucked acting.
To be a wrestler.
To be a bin man.
To be a bin man.
Mm-hmm. Optimist.
Passover. Is he called?
Your shout out bin man.
I don't think you look that much
He's
like
fucking
him.
Nothing like me, you cunt.
So you can get the focus on that.
He's just get glasses. I get that, mate, as well. I'm sure you get that with glasses? People. Anybody.
Are you getting Robbie Williams?
You're definitely more Robbie Williams than
I'd say.
I'm more Robbie Williams than that kind.
I think you're more fucking Robbie Binman. Like a combination of them.
There's sorry, for audio listeners, we're showing photos.
There's a picture of Robbie Williams. I don't know if you didn't know what he looked like. I felt like...
Imagine being that as a wrestler. I'm Robbie Williams' cousin.
That's not a bad one.
Robbie Binman.
I'm Robbie Williams' cousin and I'm a bin man, everybody. All these kids are just like, what the fuck is happening?
I'm loving bin lorries instead.
I'd watch it.
The tennis player Del Potro, I've had a little bit.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Before I had long hair, yeah. I'm sure the guy's name is Siler.
Nah, don't know. What?
Heroes. Was there a show called Heroes?
There was, yeah.
Might have been Heroes.
That was like 2005, 2006, yeah. 2007, maybe.
Siler from Heroes, I'm sure.
That guy's really famous.
Is it?
But they're all find him on IMDb.
I should know his name.
Looks like Paul Hartley as well. Remember?
Yeah. I can see Hartley, man. Paul Hartley.
I look like him just because of my hair.
Beard and hair. Yeah.
That guy there.
Who's that? The guy
for Heroes. Don't know him. No. I've seen him in like other movies. That's the guy that. Are you thinking that you look like Siler? That's the guy that played Spock in the new.
Yeah, it's him. But right. if you there's a photo of him. Because it was back then when it was out.
How come it's looking like show off your like superheroes and that, and yours is a bin? Goes back. That's the first thing you said in this. We look shit and he looks
that
great.
Guy though.
Yeah,
you look nothing.
I had him when I was younger. Before I had this hair,
bushy eyebrows.
No, I'll find a photo and you'll be like, yeah, okay, I can see it.
Because we're like the evolution of hair. Right?
Here, right now in Glasgow, bin men are like superheroes.
In what way?
The way the whole rubbish situation is, like stacks of bin not getting collected, so they have to come and do a big job. No?
Are the bins not being collected? Are the bin men on strike again?
Is Glasgow not terrible for rubbish now, no?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I didn't realise it was a village council meeting. So
I didn't know it was that bad.
We cover everything here.
Heroes.
What I was going to say is, like, obviously I'm bald, you've gone through a transition. Yeah, are you going to keep it like that for a while, or what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Is that a lot of work or not?
No.
Is that?
A lot of work in what you mean?
Like maintenance and that? Do you have to put like...
Zero maintenance.
Yeah, class.
It's actually the less maintenance, the easier it is to manage. Because if I go like and just wash my hair, shampoo and conditioner, then it's harder to manage. Because it'll just continually... Because I've really straight hair.
You're not washing it or what?
I'll go
put an egg in it
every 4 or 5 days I'll wash it.
Fucking stinking. My boy said to me the other day, he's just turned 4 and he went, Daddy, you're really lucky you have no hair because you don't need to spend time brushing it. I was like, should be a sick burn from a 4-year-old, man.
It's also true.
Yeah, he loves slagging me. He loves the fact that I'm bald. He thinks it's so funny.
Would you ever get a hair transplant?
Nah, I got offered quite a lot, including going to Turkey. I was like, they don't do my colour in Turkey, man. Like, and I don't see the point. Yeah. So I've looked like this since I was 23, 24 maybe. So it's been 10 years. So, nah, there's no point, man. Imagine me with long hair like that. I'd look like an absolute fanny.
If you got a hair transplant.
Yeah.
Could they transplant, like, dark hair? Or would it
no, I think it's
ginger?
More, are you, Darren?
It has to be your own hair. Get your hair from the back of your neck or even the hair from your beard and put it on your head.
Would you get yours?
From the back of my neck.
Pubes or that, no?
No pubes. No. I don't have pubes.
Because of Manscaped.
No, I don't actually have pubes.
What is that? I thought you were doing a bit here.
No, you take a course of tablets for the space of 6 months and then it stops growing.
What?
I was kidding on. I've got pubes.
That's right. When you look this dead seriously, I was like, oh, fuck, man. This is one of his videos he did 2 years ago that I didn't pay attention to. Like, oh, I don't have pubes.
I could have got, because I like you, I was like, ah, shit, man. Mate, if you were a cunt comedian, I'd be like, I've no good pubes.
Good wrestling name, Pubeless. Smooth. I'm into it. I'd watch it. I'd watch it, man.
Have you got a tour support?
No, I do my own.
Can I get a tour? Can I be it?
I'd just go back to my last answer.
No, you know how you get cunts like that, but mate, can I be it? I can go on in day 40 minutes.
A guy I'd never met before came up to me in the street and asked me if he could support me on tour. And I was like, nah.
Aye.
That was the end of the conversation. It was went like that. It was weird. Didn't introduce himself. Didn't know.
One of the physios at Dundee keeps asking if he can be on the podcast.
And you've spent a lot of time with them over the last couple of years, man.
I have burned.
It's fair, though. It's fair.
It's true.
I remember
I told him yes, but he would actually be the first guest ever that's had to pay to come on.
Is he a young guy, man? Older?
Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, shout out, Kevin.
Younger, older, good banter?
I think he's younger than me, but he's probably older than me.
It's not a bad problem to have, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's your compliment.
Yeah. No, because I do my shows in sign language. So like either I sign it, like I sign the last tour, but this one I'm using a sign language interpreter. So this interpreter would need to learn this tour supports set. So it's just not worth it, man. I just do it myself.
Have you had to do a show, or have you been at shows where there is an interpreter?
Yeah, so I tour my own interpreter quite a lot. Yeah. So
ever have like a little battle with them?
Oh, mate, like the interpreter I use, Karen. I've worked with Karen Forbes, she's called. I've worked with her for years, man. And every now and then, it's class, man. So she came on tour with me for a week last year, and she forgot to bring her glasses. So anytime deaf people were signing to the audience, she couldn't make out what they're saying. So it looked like she was just making it up that she knew sign language. I was like, fuck, I've booked the guy from Nelson Mandela's funeral. And like every now and then, I'll do a dig about her and I'll just see her calling me a wank. I didn't know she used to swear at me. I mean, did you ever do the Frog and Bucket?
Yes.
Manchester. Yeah. So Frog and Bucket, Manchester, like 250 people in, but there's cameras, and because there's balconies, there's screens. So I'm on stage just chatting and I saw in the screen she's calling me a wank behind my back. And I was like, what? So I just started bringing up the fact she's been divorced twice and stuff like that, and she has to sign it. So and also the good thing is, man, because I'm fluent in sign language, I just start signing and she has to speak. So like if she's annoying me, I'll just start saying, hi, my name's Karen, I'm doing this for free because I fancy Ray. Just start complimenting myself for a bit and then go back to it.
Amazing.
So it's a good laugh, man. I really enjoy it. Have you done signed shows?
No.
You never?
No.
I think yous would be quite good, actually. Be quite good.
Yeah, I could adjust my set.
Yeah. I remember seeing when you talk about when I said that burn about you being injured. When you signed for Dundee, I was like, because when you signed, you'd good strikers. And I was shite myself because I'm a Thistle fan, and then you got injured and then you just were rubbish, and I was like, this is good. Because then, was that 2 years ago you signed?
Yeah, but we were in the Premier League.
Yeah, and then you came down then and came we're like down, there's because firepower, and then because is he still there? Rudden, Zach Rudden still there?
Zach Rudden's still there, yeah.
Did you, when you were in Poland, did you play with Ziggy Gordon?
Yeah.
Did you?
Zygmunt.
He used to use my ID. So like he's just another smaller balder ginger guy. And
fully bald.
Like he needs to accept it, man.
Yeah.
He needs to accept it.
Basically bald.
Yeah. But then so like there was a chain of us that we just,
I remember we were rooming together because
you spoke English.
And he'd showered in the morning, whatever, and came in from the shower,
and you were making a 1.4 liter smoothie.
And he was like, fucking, that's the weirdest shower I've ever used. Don't know, all the best trying to get a shower and that. So I've gone in, I was like thinking, the fucking, what's up with the shower?
He's lying down a bidet.
Went into the shower, and all it was because it was one of those showers that's like not fixed to the wall.
Yeah.
So it was one that you just hold and shower. And that was it.
And that was the weirdest thing he's ever
done. That was the issue with the shower. I don't know what kind of upbringing.
Yeah, if you're shriveled in a ball. Try to do it. Can you imagine, like, because you were saying we are roomed with him. Can you imagine going away on lots of gigs and having to room with another comic?
Yeah, I think I've shared a room a couple of times, like Aberdeen and stuff. But
who'd you get?
Ross Daly.
Aye, good guy. Aye. Yeah,
good guy. Aye, but he's like, "Ah, mate, just to tell you, I snore." I was like, "Is it bad?" "No, it's not that bad." 4 a.m, I'm like, "I'm going to crush his fucking windpipe." But I think I could to do it all the time would be mental.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't be able to do that at all, man.
Yeah,
we don't do it much here because you don't stay over that much.
Yeah,
you're not having to travel. Whereas any club I've been abroad, you'll stay in a hotel the night before a game.
Every game.
Home game, away game, didn't matter. So like the seasons we'd be playing in Europe, we'd be in a hotel, say we play Sunday.
Yeah.
You're in the hotel Saturday night, all Sunday, and you'll play Sunday night. Then if you're traveling or you're playing another game on the Tuesday or Wednesday, you're in the hotel Tuesday night, hotel all day Wednesday until the game Wednesday night, and then again at the weekend. So like from the week you're maybe at home 3 days or something.
Yeah, you get fed up of staying away as well, man. Who do you get to choose who you room with, or do they put your people with?
You can. It's hard to switch.
Is it politics?
It's hard to switch. It's like, not really politics, but it's hard to like.
Have you ever got someone and be like, "Oh fuck, not them"?
There was one. No, I have. I've never. But there was one.
Can you imagine if you're in a hotel 4 nights a week and it's someone you just fucking hate?
Oh.
I remember those two guys, and they were both partners in the same position. And without trying to give away much here, something happened and they basically didn't like each other then. Or one of them found out something about the other guy.
So
and
Celtic like, then? It's Celtic?
No.
All right, the fact you say, I don't want to give too much away here. Mate, no one from...
Yeah, that's true.
Poland is going to be listening to this.
Like, no, actually, I would have some
clues.
From Poland.
Yeah, was it?
I would have, no, but I would have some people from Poland listening.
Yeah, I forgot.
And but one of the guys ended up having to go to the guy at the team and be like, "Can you switch me out of the room from him?" And I don't think he mentioned it to the guy who he was moving from. And then afterwards, the guy was like, "What happened? Why'd you ask to, switch?"
Prison,
and I think he had to, it was like a really awkward situation.
It's just something funny about him saying, "Dan, that people in Poland will be listening to this." And like, all I can think of is them every now and then just listening to Dan go, "I don't have pubes." I was a bin man.
Concussions, multiple concussions.
Just, if you're on WebMD trying to see if you're all right all the time, can concussions lead to loss of pubes?
I have had a medical before.
For what?
Window cleaning.
Do you know Seamus McCafferty? I know it's a random name drop.
That's Irish profile. You can't do that anymore, man.
No, he's Scottish.
Is he?
He went to my school. He used to play. He never played.
Now who's profile?
Well, that name, man.
He used to be.
His family were witness protection over here, but he was still Irish.
He worked for Dundee. He was a kind of top sports scientist, and then he's got a job in Hampden.
Right.
I have got a fucking concussion.
Why did you get a medical? Stop. I don't care where he works and all that. Why did you get a medical?
At Hampden, by the way.
For what?
So it was during lockdown and I didn't know what to go to my GP. I ballooned up.
I thought it was for a job or something.
No,
I didn't realize you just booked it so you could tell people you had a medical.
I just booked it and I went, I just Facebooked him because he was in my school. I was like, "All right, Seamus, can I get a medical?" And he was like, "Aye, fuck it." I ballooned up. I ballooned up to 20.
Why is that normal to you, though?
I mean,
if it's me and I'm worried about blowing up and getting medical, I don't go to a guy from a school.
I don't see the problem with this. I genuinely can't see the problem with it.
Do you get full bobby out in that?
Well, I ballooned up to 21 stone, my hair fell out, and I had these mad lumps on my neck, right? And I couldn't get to my GP, so I thought I was fucking dying.
Yeah.
And I was like, "What should I do? Message Seamus, that I've not spoke to in 15 years. And I was like, "Seamus, mate, I think I've got something wrong with this. I think I honestly think I'm dying, mate." And I went into the Hampden Sports Clinic.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yep. he gave me a full fucking medical, right? I was running on a treadmill with a Bane mask on. I was in for hours, like heart checks and all that. And then all this shit was printing off a computer, yeah. And he was like sheets of paper up, and he was just standing there, and he was like, "Ah, Darn, you're just fat."
I was like, that was the end of it.
I was that. He's like, "Just eat healthy and exercise." I was like, "All right." So there's nothing wrong with
me. Catch you in 15 years, mate.
You were like, "Yeah, there's a reason I haven't spoke to you in 15 years."
Cheers, Seamus.
I don't know if you, just when you were saying that there, you know how obviously you always end up doing random stuff. I remember we went out for lunch one time, went to that place we used to call the Meat Pit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, "What'd you get up to yesterday?" I don't know if you want to talk about it or not. I don't know if you'd talk about it. You're like, "I had a colonic irrigation."
Aye.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was insane. You're like limping in that.
Do you know what's a cheap way of doing a colonic irrigation? 15 tablets of vitamin C.
Yes, clever. I mean, I just remember that day. I was like, "Do you want to talk about it?" You're like, "Not really." I was like, "Cool." And then we just kept eating.
I've had a couple since.
Have you? They're good, aye?
They're amazing, mate. Right. I remember, can I tell this? I went for one, right? And then I microdosed. I swear my mother's life, this is true story. I went for one, microdosed mushrooms after it, ended up going into a coffee shop and meeting I can't even say that.
Do you shit yourself in a coffee shop? Is that what
basically
that's going?
I started the day off with a colonic and fasting, and I ended the night full of mushrooms and having a one night stand. So there we go.
Fuck yeah, it's class, man.
So colonic.
She was like,
work.
What are you up to today? I was like, "I had a colonic, man. I feel fucking brilliant."
She's like, "You're looking light on your feet."
Yeah.
And high in the air.
Yeah, I mean, you're wearing a nappy. For that, it's all good.
What's that whistling noise?
I remember I got booked in to do one years ago. But then fucking...
What, medical or a colonic?
A colonic. Didn't do it.
Would you pass a medical now? Are you fit again?
Yeah, I'd pass a medical fully fit. I hope no prospective clubs are watching.
No wonder you've not got a fucking club.
I moved to Poland the second time to Wisłopłock, and I'd like signed on a Sunday or something. I moved from Israel to Poland, cancelled my contract in Israel, and the game, let's say 3 days before I've gotten to Poland, I got kicked on my ankle, and I thought like I just twisted it. So the physio there was like, "Yeah, it's a bad twist." I was like, I hope so. So anyway, the next day, it's still like fucking all big swollen up. So I sent the physio a photo, and he's like, "Yeah, it looks like a sprain." And I'll send the photo for you, Paul, and it'll be here. And so then I've cancelled my contract because I think I'm okay. I've got a contract from Poland. I'm going over to sign it.
Why do you keep pictures from your ankles from like 4 or 5 years ago?
You'll see.
Oh, is it that bad?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so I arrive in Poland on, I think it was a Sunday. And because it was a Sunday, they couldn't get a doctor to come in and do a medical. So I'm walking around fine, but I've like got a swollen ankle. Yeah. So the guy's like, "I saw like you've been playing all the games this season. You're fit and strong. Everything's good." And I was like, "Yeah, sign. But as you can see, like I've just sprained my ankle yesterday. I got a tackle, but I was able to finish the half."
Yeah.
And then I was like, "Yeah, okay." So signed the contract. And then I went into training, whatever, a day or two later. And the physio's looked at it and he's like, "What the fuck's this?" So I was like, "Oh, I think it's just a sprain. If you can just strap it up for me." So I played for like about a month with this strapped up in training, trying to get through games. Yeah. And then eventually the physio was like, "Right, we need to get this scanned." So I went for a scan there in Poland. And the guy was like, you've a broken ligament in your ankle.
I've done that before. That's agony as well.
And the guy, the director who had like was there and done all the signings, who signed me and stuff.
Yeah.
He brought me to the place and he was like, "No, this can't be right." So he brought me to his own guy in Warsaw and he was like, "Yeah, it's a broken ligament. Like he's probably going to need surgery or else you can wait whatever, like 10, 12 weeks and it'll heal
like
itself."
4 months. That's why I was at Hamden Sports Club having to do physio and stuff like that on it. It was me. And you were playing on it.
And the guy, so the director has signed me.
Personally?
Thinking like I've kind of fucked them because I've signed with a fucking dodgy ankle needing surgery. So he was raging at the whole, and I had to like drive the hour back with him. And he was raging. So he had to phone the president as well to like explain the whole situation. And ended up coming to an agreement.
In Polish while you're in the car?
Yeah.
And do you understand?
I can get bits of it. Like I can get the tone of anger. And he was like, so we came to an agreement. So I felt pretty bad. So I was like trying to show them like I wasn't doing this on purpose. So I said, it's similar in Scotland where they go to a split. So they were, the club was trying to get into the top six. So he was like, right, there's 10 games until the top six is finished. If we get into that, then you can go, we can do surgery, you can get fixed, but let's just get you through these 10 games, right? And then I'd done 2 games, I think, and COVID came.
And jackpot. Stopped,
and I never needed surgery and the ankle fixed like normal. And then when I went for my Achilles surgery, I had to get an x-ray of my ankle beforehand to check if there was any other damage. And the surgeons come in with my x-ray and he was like, do you know, I've never seen, for the amount of time you've been playing football, I've never seen a footballer's ankle like this. So I'm thinking, is it still fucked?
Yeah.
And he was like, it looks like you've never played sports on it. Good. It's like a perfect ankle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I was like, COVID, baby.
Get that in the CV, man. Perfect ankles.
That's going to be flagged because I said COVID. Fuck.
Why is it going to be flagged?
Struggling to get the videos on YouTube are clean. I've got limited things on everything. And we tried bleeping out everything on the last episode. It's a very controversial podcast here.
What about we'll get the colonic microdosing story on easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll have to.
The silence for everybody else. Like,
Let's keep that for episode 24.
Yeah. Hi.
Ray, thank you very much for today.
Thanks for having me.
That was very enjoyable.
Can you send me a picture of one of your smoothies?
Yeah.
I want to see a 1.4 litre smoothie. I think that's insane.
Yeah. No problem.
Okay, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
I'll send you the ingredients as well.
No, I'm not going to do it, man. I'm not a loser. But I've got a gig.
Yeah, but I'm a healthy loser.
Yeah, I've got a gig tonight and then I've got a photo shoot tomorrow. So I'm going to take 15 tablets and a garlic clove. And I'll be one stone lighter for tomorrow. Here we go.
Darren, thanks as always. Brilliant today.
Yep.
Hopefully that. Trying to make up for my lack of intro there. Give you a good outro.
Was that a good outro?
Well, I mean, it's the first outro he's ever got. Paul, thanks very much, everyone. Good show.